It really is a blessing to be able to not only sing it, but to show every day how great is our God. You know, if you are live streaming, the solo you got for me on the first song is free. Always check your mic. Thanks for those who text me and let me know that my mic was on. So, Joseph, I hope you drowned me out on that one. Hey, I have some good news on this Father's Day, Lord's Day, to announce to you. I guess it was Wednesday night that this particular family said to me, hey, you know, we've been here for a year, so I think it's time for us to place membership. Time flies when you're having fun. I did not realize it was a year, but BBS was a year ago, and so they're not really been visiting, but they've been technically, I guess, visitors for a year. But today, they want to make sure they are identified as part of this congregation. And so, Reagan, Becca, and Peyton, can y'all please dial? Can y'all please stand up? Welcome officially to Azalea City. Have some other great news. This one may not be as much of a surprise because I probably should have already announced this, but there is a family here who is expecting baby number 2. And that's great. Like I say every time, the more babies we have, we're growing. Giving you a minute to think about it. Where is Amelia? Amelia Catherine McHugh. Are you going to have a little sister? So I'd like to congratulate Clay, Hannah, and Amelia on a little girl that will be born. So I'm going to be an uncle all over again. So I'm happy about that. Hey, it's great to see you today. And I just want to say again, I know I said it in announcements earlier, but to our fathers, and I thought it was very fitting that Bubba talked about my Uncle Jim as well as his hero, and I had a scene with a father with a cape on, because today, man, you guys are heroes. You know why you're heroes? Because you decided as the leader of your family that today you needed to be at worship. And so I'm thankful for that. For those who decided, hey, today is the day we need to be at Bible study, I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for godly men. If I had not had godly men in my life, listen, I love my mama. I really do. I mean, I really love my mama. But she brought the godliness to our family, the Christianity to our family, so to speak, part of the church here. But if we wouldn't have had a father, we wouldn't have turned out like we did. And, you know, I had other godly men in my life, and I could really go down a long list of those. Many of those, some have gone on to their reward, and some are obviously still here. But I've had so many in my life to impact me, to get me to where I am here at 45 years old. Wherever I have been, as far as a Christian goes, I've always had some male role, whether it's my own father or someone else, to encourage me and help me along the way. So truly, men, happy Father's Day. When I think of fathers, I don't know why, but I guess I'll give you the reason why, but I think of power. Maybe it's power tools, I don't know. But men have power. Now, hear me out. Again, I'm not going to try to get real political, but we're living in a time in the United States of America, a nation founded on the principles of the Bible. We're living in a time when they're trying to make men not powerful. And listen, equal and different are the same thing, right? Men and women, not the same thing, but men and women are equal, but we're different, okay? And so as a man, I think of the power that man has, whether that is strength, whether that is intelligence or whether that is authority in the family. Remember, it is not Terry who designed the family. It's God Almighty. And the way God Almighty designed the family was for the man to be the spiritual leader. In fact, He taught to the men in the patriarchal period on how to raise their families. And so the importance of men and the power that we have, you know, I think it's a quote from a Spider-Man movie, those who are given a lot of power, there is much responsibility and power that is expected upon them, right? That's it in a nutshell. We're given this power, we're given this responsibility, and we are expected to do something with it. So here on earth, when I think of men, and I think of Christian men, I think of power. But guess what? When I think of our Heavenly Father, I think of power. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, or you can read it off the screen, to Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Told you a few weeks ago that I am preaching out of the book of Ephesians. And so what I wanted to do is not skip ahead to Ephesians 6 because I'm trying to go in chapter order here. So I saw this in chapter 3 and I thought, not only is it something that we as men and fathers can tap into, but everyone can tap into this scripture. And this is a scripture you probably want to highlight. It's a scripture you probably even may want to print out or write down somewhere and put it on a post-it note on a mirror or something to remind you of the power of our Heavenly Father. Now to Him, that's God, who is able to do, listen to this, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I'm going to read that again. Now to Him, now to God the Father, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We could meditate on that all day, couldn't we? That is so powerful. According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To me, this is a passage that speaks powerfully about the abundance of God's power and His faithfulness in our lives. As students of the Word, and that's what we are, right? We are to be students of the Word. We have been charged by our elders. This is a six-month checkup, okay? A six-month checkup. This is June. We are halfway through the year. How is your Bible study? That is our theme this year. That was our charge by the men who shepherd this flock, for us to be students, better students of the Word. So as students of the Word, we have the privilege of uncovering the deep truths contained in these verses. You know, to just read those verses are very, very powerful. Talking about the power of God and what He has in His hand. But as students of the Word, and that's what we're going to do today, whether we're fathers, whether we're men, women, mothers, children, wherever we are, if we are accountable today by our actions, we need to focus on the strength and the meat that are in these verses. So we're going to look at this passage and see what it has to reveal about the magnificence of God's power and the assurance we have in Him. I'm going to give you some points today. Number one, and by the way, these scriptures write themselves, okay? This is one of those sermons that the scripture writes itself. Number one, God's power is far above our imagination. If you look back at verse 20, at least the first part of that, I'm going to read it from the ESV this time. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. The New King James says exceedingly abundantly above, right? The new ESV says far more abundantly. Our finite minds can only grasp a fraction of God's infinite power. This morning in our Bible class had great discussion. We're talking about the whole armor of God, and we were looking at breaking down now where we are in the armor. And of course, today we talked about gird your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. But along the way, we're talking about verse 12 there, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that verse. And so the point was brought up about Job. And we talked a lot about Job, how Satan and God had the conversation with the angelic hosts and all that. You know, again, God is majestic, and I made this point. He's majestic, but I don't know how majestic He is, right? We can't understand all that goes on in the eternal world, the world outside of this. But here's what I do know. Job got to the point where he questioned it a little bit. He was questioning being born. I believe Job was in a very depressed state. He'd gone through the loss of his children, the loss of his livelihood, the loss of his health. And so now he's very down and he wants to know, you know, why he's being born. He's got these questions, and God finally says, now let me talk. Where were you? Where were you when I laid out the foundations of this world? Where were you when I did all these things? You see, Job, I'm still that powerful. That was the message to Job today, then, and it's the same message to us today. But my mind, as simple as it is, can only grasp a little bit of how powerful God is. He can accomplish, according to this verse, far beyond what we can imagine or request. Listen, I believe John records heaven, the glimpse he has of heaven, in a way that we will understand and appreciate how amazing it is. For instance, we know we walk on asphalt, right? We walk on concrete. Gold up there is asphalt and concrete. Okay, that's how amazing it's going to be. But really all he does is just put a little bit of the taste of it on our tongue as he's describing the New Jerusalem. You remember Jesus, God created this world in 6 days. He spoke it into existence. He took dirt and breathed into it life and made man and took a rib from his side, closed up his side, and made a woman. And, you know, all these things that we take for granted sometimes of how powerful God is, he did all those things, and he did it in 6 days. But Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. It means he's been working on heaven ever since. He didn't say, I'm going to a prepared place for you. I'm going to get it prepared. I'm going to continue to work on heaven. How magnificent it will be. How amazing it will be. You see, however you think about heaven, I can't criticize you. Because it's far above what we can think or imagine. When you think God can do this, you better believe it, because it's far above what you can think or imagine. That's who we as men, as fathers, as mothers, as women, as children, as those of accountable, we must plug into that. See, the Scriptures affirm this truth that Paul said in verse 20. In so many other places, as Ethan read to us earlier today. Jeremiah 32:17, what a verse. Jeremiah said these words, declares our Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great what? Power. And by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. My brother George's favorite verse, also a beautiful one and a favorite of mine. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Far above what we can see, hear, or put in our hearts. Matthew 22 verse 9, Jesus answered and said to them, and Jesus is being criticized here. He's not being criticized, he's trying to be tricked, okay? And they're trying to ask him about marriage and heaven and all these things, like people were always trying to do to Jesus, these scribes and these Pharisees. And he answers them, he says, you are mistaken not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Jesus Christ said it about His Father. You don't know the Scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Romans 1 verse 20, I could read a bunch today. Romans 1 verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What He's talking about there is all these people who turned God, the Creator, into the creature. And He said, there's no excuse, because you can look around and see the power of God all over this place. And you know what, church? There's no excuse for us today either. There's no excuse. Once again, I started out this point. My finite mind can only grasp a little bit of the infinite power of God. But that little bit, there's no excuse, because it's all around us. The power of God is all around us. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can see, think, hear, smell, taste, or imagine. Number two this morning. Here's the beautiful thing about it, is God's power is at work in us. Ephesians 3, the second part of verse 20, Paul continues, according to the power at work within us. Aren't you thankful that as believers, God didn't leave us to navigate this journey on our own? I remember as being the youth minister of our teens, when Michelle and I first started out on this trip, it's been a few days ago, we got the big Atlas map out. And that's how we mapped out where we were going. So those of you who were with us and we got lost, okay, forgive us a little bit. Then we were so happy when MapQuest came out. You could print out directions. And then I remember going and buying a Garmin GPS so we can stick it on our dash and plug it into the cigarette lighter. And now we've got it for free on our phones. Or in our vehicles. The point is, we get lost if we don't have the proper directions. And it's so easy now to have the proper directions, there's no excuse for getting lost. Well, it's the same way with us eternally. This book, He gave us everything we need to navigate. On every page is God. Even in the two books that do not mention His name, there is God. And every one of these point to Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points to Jesus Christ and the power that God gave Him, so that that power through Him can work in us. We can navigate life's challenges by the power of God. The same power. Think about this now. Because I don't think sometimes we think about, listen, I'm not talking, we don't have the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. We get that. But God at work within us, the same power, the source of it, also raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 8 verse 11. It is by God's power that we are transformed enabled to live victoriously and empowered to fulfill our calling. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." You remember when Paul and Barnabas, in around Acts 14, they were there and they started accusing them of being gods? Paul quickly pointed out that we're not gods. We're just men. We're doing God's work. Peter and John did the same thing with the lame man who leapt to his feet in Acts 3. And, you know, he was begging. They told him, "Silver and gold we do not have. What we do have, given in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he did. And people started saying things about him. He's like, "Oh, this comes from God." You see, the power that the apostles had was to prove who they were, to show their authority, to show the church, the early church, that you need to listen to these men. We don't have that kind of power, but we still have the same source. And we can tap into it. So if somebody is sick, we can spend time in prayer tapping into the source for the great physician to heal them. That's why we've got no excuse. God is wanting to work in you. What a privilege. It was brought up about Job today. You know, how great was Job spiritually for his name to come before it and to be on God's lips? You know, I guess all of us, none of us really want to go through what Job went through, but I'd really like my name to be on God's lips. See, He wants that. He wants to be at work in us. Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God is willing to transform today. You might have come in here thinking, "I am the worst of the worst. I am not worthy of God's power." And by the way, we could all say that. None of us are worthy of it. But He chose us. And so today, you can walk in feeling like you are the worst sinner on the planet, but walk out of here knowing that God's power is at work in you. What a beautiful transformation. Thirdly, this morning, according to these verses that write themselves, God's power, and I said earlier, is more than we can imagine, but here I want to add the word accomplishes. God's power accomplishes more than we can imagine. Paul goes on to say in verse 21, "To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." The purpose of God's power is not only for our personal benefit, but it's also there to bring Him glory. God's power is at work in the church. It empowers believers to accomplish His divine purposes. Some have probably had the question before, why do I have to go to church to go to heaven? Well, first of all, I've had to ask that question. That's probably not where I need to be spiritually. But the reality is there's power here. There's love here. There's sinners saved by the blood of Jesus Christ here. And see, all of that means is when we work together, it's like spokes inside a wheel. We give each other strength. So worship is critical. Being part of fellowship times are critical. Getting together is critical. Studying the Bible together is critical. Loving each other, checking on each other. The more we spend time with, the chances are we might get aggravated with somebody. But if God's power is at work in us, we'll overcome that. There is nothing too little or too big for our God. Jesus summed it up this way: with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. As we yield to the power of God. See, and that's what I got to do. I can't do it on Terry. Terry can't do it on his own. So I got to step back and I got to say, God, here I am. I'm giving you me. I'm giving you my all. I'm yielding to your power. You know what he's going to do? He's going to accomplish so much more through us once we do that than we could ever accomplish on our own. If you think you've done pretty well doing it on your own, your mind's about to be blown if you yield to it today. Fourthly, this morning, maybe, God's power unfolds in Jesus Christ. Verse 21 concludes with the affirmation that God's power is evident in the church and in Christ Jesus. You see, that is so important to grasp. Without Christ, we can't get to the Father. Without Christ, we can't tap into the power. In fact, it's only through Christ that we have anything that speaks of eternal reward. Through His redemptive work, Jesus reconciles us back to God. And it grants us access to the Father. And it empowers us to walk in righteousness. Why is baptism so critical? Well, it's how we enter into Jesus Christ. It's not because it looks good for the church. Does it encourage the church? Absolutely. Preachers don't get bonuses for everybody that's baptized, okay? I'd be talking to my kids all the time about doing... No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, it's not about us. It's about that person entering into a saved relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it's only that way we tap into the power. It's only that way we're added to the church. Without that, I am lost. Without the blood of Jesus, I have nothing. I have nothing. It's His redemptive power, God's redemptive power, through Jesus Christ that brought us back. I was that sheep that wandered way too far away, but the Good Shepherd brought me back home. And because of that, He empowers us to walk in newness of life and to walk in righteousness. Romans 5:8 through 11. You see, Christ's resurrection power operates in us. It enables us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received, Ephesians 4:1. And that's a whole other verse for a whole other day. But we must walk worthy. We can't walk around unappreciative, not giving God the glory. Where's our strength? Today, where's your strength? You know, I told you from the get-go, I think of men and I think of strength. I think of power. Men, where's your strength today? Where's your power today? Fathers. But all of us, where is it? If it's anywhere but God, then it's in the wrong places. And the only way to get the strength from God is through it unfolding through Jesus Christ. Finally, this morning, talking about God's power, talking about Him being the one that we tap into. God's power, this is a beautiful thing, endures forever. Ephesians 3:21, that passage includes with this declaration: throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Yeah, I can look around and get discouraged. Not in here. I'm not discouraged at all in here. I mean, we have some folks traveling, some folks out of town. You know, it's summertime. They'll come back. So I'm not discouraged by some empty sections here and there. I'm not discouraged by you or anything else, but when I look outside of here, right? I look in the world. Yeah, it's discouraging. It really is. And in a lot of ways, it's scary. And even some might even say, hey, why have we gotten so far away? Where is God in all this? You know where God is? The same place He's always been. He's on the throne. Who sits on the throne? The one with authority. God sits on the heavenly throne. The throne above all thrones. And today, God is sitting on the throne. He was sitting on the throne in Genesis chapter 1. He was sitting on the throne in Matthew 1. He was sitting on the throne in Revelation 22. And here in the year 2023, June of 2023, God's still sitting on the throne. You know why? Because His power and His authority will last throughout all generations forever and ever. Our God is eternal. And His power is unchanging. His promises remain true for all time. I want you to listen as we get ready to close to Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Let's pause for a moment. Why? Why should I make a joyful shout to the Lord? Why should I serve Him with gladness? Why should I come before His presence with singing? Why should I enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise? Why should I be thankful to Him? Why should I bless His name? Because like verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. As believers, we have the assurance that the same power that worked in the early church is available to us today. And it will be available to future generations until Christ decides to bring us home. So in conclusion, when you read Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and you see that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that our hearts can imagine. And that power, it's at work in us. And it's also apparent in the church. It comes alive in Christ Jesus. And it's not just for the church at Ephesus, but it's for all the churches and all the generations forever and ever until we're in heaven bowing down at the throne of God. Fathers need the power of God. But so do mothers. And so do all of those who are at an age where we're accountable for our actions. You see, we can have confidence in God's ability to accomplish abundantly beyond our expectations. And it will sustain us today and throughout all generations. But you know, that power is here today. And that power is free today. The gift has been purchased. The ability is there. But you have got to accept it. You know, if I bought you a gift, until I gave over possession, I may have purchased it. I may have taken care of everything, but it's still in my possession. Well, see, God's got all this power, and He's handing it over to you today. Are you willing to yield? Are you willing to say, I'm tired of living the way I used to live? I'm ready to accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm ready to be immersed into water, contacting His blood, contacting this power, to be raised up, to be added to the church, to walk in newness of life. You see, that's what we have to do. Or maybe we're here today, and we've done that. But there's been a time when we decided to walk away. And for whatever reason, maybe because of Father's Day, you walked right back in here. The power is available. Will you accept it right now as together we stand and sing?